It's getting now. What is this summer? It's getting summer or is getting? I'm not too sure how the season really. I'm not one of the people who know which season is it now. I only know winter and summer. When it's come to springs, autumns, and what, I really never figure out those ones. So, but I only know the two. Summer, I know when it's cold, then I can say, okay, this is now winter. When it's hot, then it's summer. The other two, I have no idea at all. So, all right. So welcome to, Eagle FM. This is your number one, talk radio station. My name is, Mike Osovedi, and this is Unpacking, the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, what is going on, and the numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark a meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So our time is 4 minutes past the hour of 8, and welcome and thanks for joining us. It's always our pleasure to be in your company. So I will be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock this morning. So let's start off, as usual, as we always do. Today is the 29th of August. Let's see what actually happened on this day in Africa. Any other significant event that have taken place during the course of Africa's history. So on this day in Africa, on the 29th of August, we remember the birthday of Mohamed Amin. Mohamed Amin is a photojournalist, celebrated Kenyan photographer. He's from Kenya, photographer of Indian origin. Was born on the 29th of August 1943 in Elsley in Nairobi. So he founded CameraPix in 1963. So he founded CameraPix in 1963 and became widely known for his impactful coverage of Africa's crisis, most notably the 1984 Ethiopian famine, which significantly raised global awareness. He also documented the fall of Uganda's Idi Amin and Ethiopia under Mengistu. So tragically, he lost an arm in 1991 due to an ammunition dump explosion, and he died in a plane hijacking in 1996. And if we go to apartheid South Africa in 1985, on the 29 August 1985, police in Cape Town violently suppressed protesters, most of them black and mixed race, killing 16 people. This happened amid growing unrest and demonstration calling for the release of Nelson Mandela and escalating anti-apartheid resistance. So the violence, combined with economic unrest, that triggered capital flight and currency crisis weakened the apartheid regime's grip. So, and in Kinshasa, in Congo, so let's go to Congo, the DRC Congo in 1998, on August 28, on August 29, August 29, 1998, during the Second Congo War, rebels evacuated Matadi, an important port city in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and the Angolan troops supporting President Kabila entered the city without engaging in conflict. So today is also, we remember the death of Patrice Lumumba. Patrice Lumumba, a key leader in Congo's independence movement, was assassinated on this day, on this date, with the Congo and the U.S. bearing the significant responsibility. His death is stark, it's a stark reminder of the political violence and intervention that plagued the continent in the aftermath of colonial rule. So today also, it's also the, it's also recognized today, the 29th of August is also recognized as the International Day Against Nuclear Tests, which is also observed, which is observed globally, including also in Africa. So 29th is recognized as an International Day of Nuclear Tests. All right. So, well, that's all we have today. That's all we have today on this day in Africa. So, and so today is the 29th of August, or Friday. What is our thought for the day today? Our thought for the day today: we do not rise to the level of our goals. We fall to the level of our discipline. So our thought of the day today: we do not rise to the level of our goals. We fall to the level of our discipline. Now, the proverb highlights a powerful truth that success is shaped less by how higher we set our goals and more by the routines, habits, and system we built to achieve them. So success is actually shaped, success is shaped less by how higher we set our goals and more by the routines, habits, and system we build to actually achieve them. So the system and the structures of daily habits that you consistently follow ultimately determine how far your progress. Ambitious goals won't matter if your daily actions are not aligned. Now, the proverb is not saying goals are not important. So it's not saying the goals are not important. They are. Instead, it's actually a reminder that long-term achievement depends on the discipline you consistently exert, not just the goals you actually aspire to. So without structured practices or reliable system, your ambitions may remain out of reach. So we do not rise to the level of our goals. We fall to the level of our discipline. So that's our thought for the day. And hopefully that help you in the way you make your decision today, that they are consistently following, follow ultimately, so they that those, the choices and decision you're making, they align with your goal, and also consistent in terms of of your routine and habit and system, which you build to achieve them. So, yes, we do not rise to the level of our goal. We fall to the level of our discipline. So that's our thought for the day. So good morning to you. Our time is 12 minutes past the hour of 8. I nearly said at the hour of 12. We couldn't have that gone far. So 12 minutes past the hour of 8. And as I said, and if you're just joining us, we go until 10 o'clock this very morning. So what you can expect today on the show, you know, this is something I have been wanting to talk to you about. Homeowners now protected against home repossessions. I have been not postponing, it's just because we didn't get actually time to get into this. This is it's an announcement by Judge President Damasep. We're gonna go into that because it's really, 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 it's very interesting information for my listener, for you, actually. To maybe you haven't picked up somewhere in some other newspaper or something. So we're gonna look at that because it's very important, and also unpack it together. Have your opinion as well in terms of that. So, we were also supposed to, because it's something that we were supposed to discuss on Monday, and we pushed it to Friday because the guest said word was not available. That was how climate change is reshaping Namibia's economy. And I still received, we were supposed to have that at 8:30 this morning. I received a message from my guest that she won't be available this morning as well. So but not on Pepe, we will have something, you know, today as well. So the other things that we can look at is it's a story in today's edition of the Villager. Namibia doesn't transform its re-export, you know. So however, the country benefit from facilitation services of re-export. So we're gonna go into that if we have time, and also and if we have time as well, we're gonna also look at that Namibia is it's trying to launch, not trying, maybe they are planning to launch a new national headlines. So I would like to hear your opinion on that as well. So good morning. As you can see, we still have quite a number of topical things that we're gonna discuss this morning. Please do stay tuned after this.
Omutiha would take a kaguna e matina omjo. Chicago Shafa Nana Longishifa ya ishiwikemoshiwana. E moyao or taingongoti samweni. Anagishifa ya Namibia ombitombwa nawa orongika. Seithanina omayakuro ni randitoma yoe yongeshefa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara hita tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
A very good morning to you and welcome back to Unpacking the Day. I'm your host, Mike Oshomvedi. And our time is about 17 minutes past the hour of 8. And yes, Please do remain connected. Stay connected with Eagle FM. So you can listen to Eagle FM wherever you find yourself. Especially if you are in the area where you may not be hearing us through the radio, you can always download your Eagle FM mobile app, where you can continue to listen to Eagle FM anytime, anywhere. And especially those people on the go. I'm that kind of person on the go. And I'd rather have actually, you know, my app where I can be able to listen whenever I want to. So, and as always said, so with the mobile app, there are so many features on the app itself. Many reports, vacancies sometimes, podcasts. You miss nothing. If you miss your favorite program, you can always go back and listen to news we will soon have also regional elections, political political party manifestos are also still there. So please make sure that you download that, and you definitely will thank me. You will come back and say, Mike, man, thank you for making sure, for telling me to actually download the Eagle FM app. Today is Friday, so you can also subscribe for the Villager. The Villager is it's published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, if you're looking for latest business and economic news, please make sure that you subscribe, and you get it for free. So you get yourself a free copy of The Villager by simply sending a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44, 081-241-44. So, and as I said, The Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, and if you want to advertise your business, or maybe simply want to have your event or function or workshop or conference exposed to general public, to a whole of Namibia, via maybe a live streaming or a broadcasting, contact our office number, 083-288-400. And please do follow Eagle FM and also The Villager on our social media platform, and make sure you leave a comment or a like. You know, that hint that show up, that's a like, or a love sign. Yeah. So, and we want to hear from you. We want to engage you. Also leave a comment as well. So good morning to you. And welcome to Unpacking the Day. So let's get into, our story or first item this morning. And, grab the coffee, grab your coffee, or what is it? What do you drink? Coffee or tea, or as long as it's not something that make you, it's Friday, I understand. You know, settle in, because we're getting into another story that matter really to you. Now, before we get into the nitty gritty, let's give you a picture. I'm gonna give you a picture now. So before we get into the little details here and there, so let me give you a picture. You know how it is in Namibia, okay? So life can be a balancing act. So we work hard, we strive for that little piece of security, and that dream of owning a home, you know. But sometimes life throws, as they said, the curveball, and unexpected expenses, or a job loss, or a medical emergency, you know. And suddenly, that dream can feel very far away, especially if you find yourself struggling with debt. So, and that is precisely what a big announcement from the Office of the Judiciary, is all about. So we saw a headline splashed across the papers or online: homeowners now protected against home repossessions. So, well, it sounds like a great news, and it is a great news. Well, it's clear, it is a clear win for everyone, especially those might be facing financial hardship. So, but as always, here on Unpacking at the Day, we are not just about the headlines. We are about what behind those headlines. So, and we are about the nuances, those nuances, the ripple effect, and whether this truly solved the problem or it's just shifting it, you know. Could be just, you know, you're just shifting the problem. You're not really solving the problem. So it's a great news. It's a great news. So let's break down what's actually happened. All right. So now starting immediately as of the 22nd, of August, under amendment made to the High Court rules by Judge President Damasip, Petrus Damasip, the process of selling a home due to debt, the process of selling a home due to debt is getting a serious overhaul. All right? So what is the serious overhaul? What is the big takeaway? Is that your primary home won't just be snatched, won't be just snatched away without a second look anymore. All right? You know, previously, you know, your house could be just actually snapped like that and it's gone. Now, that is going to change. Now, this is a really a significant shift. Imagine this. Let me give you a scenario, okay? So, as I said, you have worked your finger to the bones, you know? You have worked your finger to the bone. You have managed to buy your first home. And then, well, as I said, life happens and you fall behind on payment. So before the path to repossess might have been pretty direct, okay? It could happen, you know, it is direct, it's quick, you know, so you can't pay, so they repossess you. But now the court has to really look at your situation. So they need to consider your financial standing, your payment history, and crucially, whether there are any other way to settle the debt. So it's like saying, okay, hold on a minute, okay, before we sell this family's roof over their heads, you know, let's explore every other avenue. So, and that's actually the big shift that just come in. Okay, that was just announced by Judge President. So Judge President Damasip explicitly stated that the court must hold an inquiry to determine if selling the property is the most appropriate order. Okay? So, and this is not just a suggestion. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is not just a suggestion. It is a requirement. It has become a requirement. So that, you know, the inquiry must be done to determine if selling the property is the most appropriate order. So your home can only be declared declared executable. Is that a word? Is that a word? Yeah. It can only be declared executable, meaning it can be sold if the court is satisfied that selling it is the absolute last result. Okay? So when the court actually satisfied that there's nothing else that can be done, and you have, you know, you don't have other things that that can save you, so this is the last result. So then can be so, and that is a powerful safeguard that was not there. So it's about now ensuring fairness, as the judge president actually put it. All right. So now, but I want us now to put on our unpacking hat for a moment, okay? So, and go a little bit into this. What does this really mean for us, for people now? What does it mean, okay? Now, because there are things, okay? There are things that we need to look at. So I'm just giving you the download of that. Now, on one hand, it's a good news for individuals and family who are genuinely trying to get back on their feet. Maybe something happened and they're trying to get there on their feet, and you know, so, and it offer a much needed cushion. You know, you have that cushion, kind of like a bit of a breathing room. All right. So I think that's very, 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 very important to note. Because no one want to see families actually evicted, especially not from their primary residence, you know, from your house. So, and I think this protects that fundamental right to shelter that we have in a constitution. It protects that. So unless it comes to a point where really there's nothing that can be done. Now, however, I want to also ask to flip that. To flip the coin, okay? So, and we're gonna flip that coin after this commercial.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Okay, good morning and welcome back. So, if you are following, so we're looking at the announcement of Judge President Damasip that give a little bit of time that the court would only allow for your house to be sold if the court is satisfied that selling it is the absolute last resort. And as I said, that's actually a powerful safeguard. And also, the judge president said it's about ensuring fairness, and also, that, when we look at that, it give also, individuals and families, who are genuinely trying to get, maybe they find themselves in a situation where they find it difficult, you know, to do their payment, or they are behind their payment. So it offers a much needed cushion and as I earlier said, a breathing room for you to be able to get back to your feet. So, and of course, as I said, the court, and you know, no one wants to see families actually being evicted. And I think that's also one thing that has prompted the court to move in these directions. This is your primary residence, and just to lose it in the snap of the finger, that is not really good. And this is also to protect the fundamental right to shelter that is enshrined in our constitutions. So, and I said, now, that's all good and well, but we also need to look on both sides. Now, so I said now, and I said, we need to unpack this and also look it on the other side. Now, let's flip it let's flip the coin. Now, what about now the lenders? Okay, so what about the lenders? Well, the banks, the financial institution that lend the money. So they also have obligations. Okay, that's all good. That's all good and well. But the lenders have also the obligations. They have obligations. They need to recover their funds to continue lending and operating. So are they going now to be happy about potentially longer and more complex recovery processes? And could this lead, maybe this could also lead them being more hesitant to lend, or perhaps even increasing interest rates to, this is now for them to offset perceived increased risk that's going to come with that. So we're talking up the judge saying this is about fairness, okay? This is where now the fairness aspect gets interesting. So is it fair to the lender to have their recovery process significantly drawn out? And then they also, so think about that, you know, really, really think about that. I've just said, you know, what about the lender, really? So, and that's going to also complicate matters as well. I don't have a solution. I'm just bringing that complex or that challenge to you to also, you know, digest and dissect, you know. So, and also, then there is also the auction themselves, all right? This amendment also tackles another problem. So the problem, drated ghost bidders, those people who show up at auctions, inflated the price, but conveniently disappear when it's actually a time to pay. So they inflated the price of the house or whatever is being auctioned, and then when it's a time actually to pay, they are nowhere to be, you know, to be found. Now this somehow causes some chaos. It causes delays and ultimately financial losses for everyone involved. So including the debtor who property is still on the market. So now to combat actually this, they now requiring a deposit for the bidder. They requiring now the deposit from the bidders. So for the movable property, it is a modest 2,000. So it's about, you actually have, when you have to bid for the movable property, it's at the auction, it's about 2,000. For the immovable property, our homes and land, for example, it's about 10,000. So, yeah, and I think this seems like a sensible step to ensure, that's actually to ensure a serious buyer are participating. So not, as I said, those who comes and just inflated the prices and then when they have to pay, they are nowhere to be found. So those are the new changes. This is actually now to combat that issue. So the movable property, you pay, you deposit at 2,000 and immovable property, it's about 10,000 or so. Now, but here is a move that also may raise some eyebrows, especially for those who are busy or perhaps live a bit further out. You know, if you live in another town, and maybe the auction is somewhere else. So the remote and online bidding has been banned. So there are previously you can actually bid remotely or online. So now you must attend in person. So that's another change. So the online or remote bidding has been banned. It's completely banned. So you need to be there. You have to attend in person. No telephone bidding, no video conferencing, no other electronic methods. Okay? So you must attend in person. So the judge president seems to believe this make the system fairer, more fair, by ensuring that bidders are physically present and can be properly identified. Okay? Now, we can be able to identify who and who are actually the bidders. So that's another something that also has changed. So now let's think about that from a Namibian perspective. When we have a vast distance, you know, distances in this country, for someone in Opuwo, for example, to attend an auction in Windhoek, that could be significant expensive, and also time commitment. The previously people could actually bid online, they could actually bid remotely, and maybe have a representative as well, someone who's actually can go on your behalf. So now having the person to be there in person, that could be significantly expensive as well, and at time of, you have also to think in terms of time commitment. If I'm in Swakopmund or in the north, and the whole thing is taking place in Swakopmund, previously you can actually remotely bid actually as well. So now banning the remote bidding unintentionally, think about it, does it now unintentionally exclude some potential buyers? Just because you can't be there, you can no longer now actually be able to bid. Now, could that also then exclude? So it's a law, but unintentionally might actually exclude some other potential buyers. And it could also, so, and could it actually limit competition as well? Could it actually limit competition, and therefore potentially lead to maybe a lower sale prices for the properties, which in turn could mean more debt left over for the original homeowners, if you have actually lower sale prices for the properties? No, just think about it. Just think about it. You know, so we need to ask, you know, we need to ask, is this truly about fairness, or is it about ensuring a certain type of buyer is present? Mm-hmm. So those are some challenges with the new regulations when it comes to auctions. Yeah. So another safeguard, no more bidding on behalf of others. No more bidding on behalf of others unless you have a written proof beforehand. Okay. That's also the new rules. Now, actually, this is aimed at preventing what is called front bidding. You know, the front bidding where someone bids on behalf of another party, who doesn't want to publicly associate it with that purchase. So it's referred to as a front bidding. So yeah, so that has been, it's also that no more bidding on behalf of another, okay, of others, unless you have actually a written proof beforehand. So, and apparently this is actually, you know, about closing loopholes. It adds transparency, but again, does it make the process more accessible? Does it make it more accessible or more, is it making more accessible or is it making it more restrictive? So, and you may end up with less, you know, bidders. And as I said, that could also then lower sales prices for the properties. And that could, as I said, in turn, that could mean more debt left over for the original homeowners as well. So those are few challenges or things that that still, you know, think that what does these rules now, what challenge this rule brings actually in. So the judge president goal is to apparently is to modernize the justice system, protect families and ensure fairness. So, and this, when you listen just, again, justice, to modernize the justice system, protect the families, and these are laudable goals. And as we see, the devil, as always, is in the details. So when we talk about fairness, who are we prioritizing? So are we balancing the need of the vulnerable homeowners with the legitimately expectation of those who provide finance? You know? So are we? So now, so let's look at another thing. Let's also touch on I don't know how you pronounce this, garnishee orders. So, and we're gonna look at that after this quick commercial.
What does financial inclusion look like in Namibia and Africa at large? Tune into Financially Included, where money meets access. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. live on Eagle FM to hear about the different opportunities, services, and methods that foster financial inclusion in the country and the continent at large. Financially Included, where money meets access. Proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na nongeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seisa nina omayakudo ni randitoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma odara heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. So, yeah. So let's also look, let's also touch on the garnish orders. These are those, maybe just let me explain what those, these are those orders that tell your employer or your bank to pay a portion of your earnings or funds directly to someone you owe money to. Yeah. So the amendment also bring stricter documentation requirement for these now. All right. The court will now have to inquire into your personal circumstances and consider alternatives before just, you know, granting one, you know. So, yeah, and this is another layer of protecting for the debtor. So ensuring their ability to survive isn't completely crippled, you know. So again, a good thing for the individual, but does it make debt collection more challenging for the creditors? So someone also sent a message to me. So he said, well, the lenders, Mike, are well looked after by the law, and the 20-year term mortgage, the 20-year term mortgage bond serves them so well. So the through reaping the borrowers over the 20 years, give them a good enough buffer to go to the extent proposed by the higher court. So it's so fair that your primary dwelling be protected and defended. All right. So yeah, that's very true. They have quite 20 years. That buffer of 20 years. And I think it's just that your primary residence shouldn't be just gone like that. Everything should be done. The court must do everything possible to make sure that, you know, you haven't lost your house in a snap of a finger. So, all right. So this legislation, it's actually trying to strike a delicate balance. Yeah, it does. It does actually try to strike a delicate balance. It's a response to a problem, but every solution can, you know, as we have seen sometimes, every problem sometimes, every solution sometimes can create a new challenges. So the intention are good: protect families, ensure fairness, prevent abuse of the system. Yeah, but the implementation and the unintended, sometimes the unintended consequences are what need to be watched closely. So we are talking about a fundamental right to shelter versus the right to financial recovery. That's what we're talking about: a fundamental right to shelters versus the right to financial recovery. So it's tension that exists in every economy. Okay, so how Namibia navigate this will be fascinating to observe. So we need to see how these rules are applied, you know, are applied in practice. So with the judiciary, will the judiciary have the resources? First of all, will they have the resources actually to conduct these thorough inquiries? So the law can be there. We have it in black and white. But will they have the resources actually to conduct now these inquiries? Will the clarity of Gal and Xi orders actually lead to more equitable outcomes or just more paperwork? It could be just still more paperwork, you know, that bureaucratic thing. So ultimately, the success of this amendment will be measured not just by how well they protect homeowners from repossession, but also by whether they maintain the confidence of lenders as well and ensure reasonably efficient and a fair system for all parties involved in a debt recoveries as well. So if we can look at this quickly before I let you come in, but maybe just because I've been talking a little bit, just to sum up what we talked about. So the core of this amendment is a significant strengthening of the safeguards against losing your primary home due to debt. So court must now thoroughly investigate alternatives before approving a sale. Okay? So, and the new rules are in place to combat when it comes to, there is a reform on auctions. So the new rules are in place now to combat fraudulent bidding, including deposit requirements and a ban on remote bidding, and also aiming for more transparent and serious participation. Okay? So, and maybe we can also look at the fairness debate That could be also people that are coming from the bank, from the lending side. So while protecting the vulnerable is crucial, the ban on remote bidding and the increased scrutiny on debt recovery processes raises question about the impact on the lenders and the accessibility of auction for all potential buyers when the remote when we have actually the remote bidding is actually banned and all that. So yeah, those are some challenges as well that I'll leave you for thought. And this is a complex, come on, this is a complex issue with no easy answers, as you can see. The judiciary is attempting to balance competing interests, and the real impact will unfold as these rules are put into practice. So it's a positive step for many Namibians, I think, no doubt. The comment that I just got. So, but let's not get complacent with the headlines. Let's keep an eye on how this play out, because it is in the practice, as we've said, that so the unintended consequences and whether the, you know, how do you see this, the pendulum of fairness, where does it swing? Would it swing too far in one direction? So that we need to see. So I would love to hear from you. I would like to hear your thought. Please do come through. Our telephone number, 08333 66091. 08333 66091. You're welcome now to come through and have your contributions. I felt that those were information that's really, you might have not picked up somewhere, that you deserve to know, and to understand and unpack it a little bit, for you to know what is going on. So now it's your turn. So what do you think? 08333 66091.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you. Our time is 56 minutes past the hour of 8. It's Friday. Oh, I remember now. It's Friday. People on Fridays are always this slow, you know. There's something, I'm a behavior analyst. There's always this, you know. You know, if you have a workshop, let's say, for example, your workshop is about 2 days. Let's say, for example, 3 days, from Monday to Wednesday. You know, the first day, and you know, you will have this full participation. There's always a tendency that as you come towards the end of of that, and then the mood just, you know, it just goes, it goes just right down. So it's the same thing. So over as you start the week, the energy is quite higher. the energy is quite higher. And then as you come towards the end of the end of the week, the energy just goes, all right. So I understand, but we are here, to do the job. So yes, we're talking about this great, this big announcement, from the Office of the Judiciary. So which actually talking about the homeowner now protected against home repositioning, repossession, not repositioning, repossession. Now your primary home won't be just snatched away. It won't be just snatched away. So, the court have to do, a thorough, inquiry, and they have to do really to look at your situation before they decide that yes, first they have to say, man, well, hold on for a minute. So we cannot just sell this family roof of the roof of their head. So let's explore every other avenue. And that's actually now the big shift that comes with the new rules. And the president, explicitly state that the court must hold an inquiry, to determine if selling the property is the most appropriate, order. So, yeah. And if the court is satisfied, that selling it is the absolutely the last resort, then, definitely then it doesn't mean in the end, your house is not going to be sold, but it's just that it just give you that room, that breathing room, to sort yourself, rather than as what it used to be, you don't have much, it was just directly happen in at the snap of the finger. So that's what this, new shift, is all about. All right. So, our telephone number is 08333 66091. So we talked also other couple of things. If you're just joining us, we talked about the auctions. There was also amendment when it comes to the auctions, that those people who show up at the auction inflate the prices, but then conveniently disappear when it's time to pay. So that in itself, I think it was causing some chaos and delays. So now there has been, a requirement now for the deposit. So from the bidders, that for the movable property, you actually give about 2,000. For immovable property, you actually deposit about 10,000. And I think that seems like a sensible step, actually, to ensure that the only people that are coming to do that are serious buyers who are actually participating. So what else? We also talk about those who are bidding online. There used to be you can remotely or online bid, and that has been now banned, and you must attend in person. So no more telephone bidding, no more video conferencing, no more other electronic methods. So you have to be present. So yeah, and the judge president seemed to believe that this makes the system more fairer by ensuring bidders are physically present and can be properly also identified. Yeah. So, well, there are a couple of things we also discussed. So, what are you saying? What is your contribution? What is your reactions? to that. So you're most welcome to come through. Our telephone number is 081-0833-66091. 083-66091.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika zeitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu Moambo, dengira selma, onara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniari. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM. Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Unpacking the Day. And this is your favorite radio, talk radio station, and your favorite show. I'm your host, Mike Oshoveli. Our time is 3 minutes past the hour of nine. Yeah, so... Now let's move forward. Let's move forward, and so you're most welcome. If you find yourself busy and you want to come later on the first item that we have covered, you're most welcome to do so. Even if we are busy with something else, so you're most welcome to come through, and talk about that as well. So if you want to contribute to that, so all right. One of the headline story in today's editions of today's edition of the Villager is a story by Nino Menavali Erastus talking about a re-export. Let me give you some. For me, the way I make sense of things, I like to give some kind of like, maybe it's because I'm a trainer. I always, you know, want people to, for me to understand something, to make people understand, I always give that kind of like an example or some kind of a scenario or something like that. So when we talk about re-export, so for me to, so let's say you have a friend. In Botswana now, and your friend actually needs something. So, but instead of them getting it directly from, let's say, Europe, it first comes to you in Namibia, and you don't do anything to it. Eh? You don't do anything to it. Maybe just a repack. You repacked. Of course, you may charging your friend some amount. So maybe you just repack it or store it for a bit. You know, you put it somewhere. You store it somewhere, and then you send it on its way to your friend in Botswana. So that is a re-export. You know, it's exported to you. And you re-exported it, you know? So Namibia is doing this, and quite a lot of it, okay? We're doing this, Namibia is doing that, and quite a lot of it, according now to the latest figures, all right? So, and we are talking about now, when we talk about re-export here, we're talking about raw materials, minerals, even petroleum, stuff comes in and then it gets out. It gets right back out, you know? So that's what we're talking about without doing anything to them. Yeah. So the article mentioned, a 3.3 billion worth of this re-export in June last year. So that's quite a lot of money. All right. So, and the Namibia Statistic Agency is telling us, point blank that no significant industrial transformation happened here in this kind of exchange or trade, if you like. So no significant industrial transformation happened here. So, and here's what is interesting now, and this is where we need to start unpacking, I think. So the agency also say almost as so it's also, and this is what's like an afterthought, that these re-export do not benefit Namibia. How? Through facilitation service. I mean, not do benefit, not that doesn't benefit. So that these re-export do benefit Namibia. And how does it benefit Namibia? Is through the facilitation services. Yeah, you think services like sorting. Now you could be just sorting out things, or you could be repackaging it, or it could be just providing storage services, or could be transportation, you know, or general trading, just general trade facilitation. So they are saying our service sector get a boost from this. Okay, so get a boost from this. So now the question for us, as ambitious Namibian, okay, as ambitious Namibian, is that a good thing? And we're gonna go deeper into that. Let's go to the column and see what he has to say. Very good morning.
Yes, morning, Dr. Mike.
Good morning, Mandume. It's Friday, man. It's a long day.
We are forgetting. I can understand. That's why I want to say, Mandu, it doesn't have a problem today. Mandu, not a problem.
don't have a problem.
We know, Namibia, you see, we can get happy so easily.
Yeah, no, we are not difficult people.
We are not. Telling you.
We can satisfy it by once our tummy is full. That's all. Yeah. That's all what we need.
We forget about tomorrow.
Hey, brother, you can get it. De kupo kando hako shike ko machine no shike.
Baba, noka bisho po.
Noka bisho adimbo akucho uri mo koloni.
Oh, kranyo po ngao. Oh, hi. You see them?
Yeah.
When it comes to her, the policy.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely.
For me, I'm telling you, especially when it comes to our ordinary people, they've been suffering for long in this situation where the municipality, just imagine maybe owing even like 10,000.
Yeah.
But they are not even like, after they cut off water and they what, then they see that you are not even coming forth. Then they start selling your house. It's been happening in Windhoek.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, people who are having money, they can owe municipality for more than whatever. They never do the same.
A lot.
But I think it's welcome already.
Yeah.
That is welcome, because now even the bank are doing the same municipality this side, all over. Mm. But especially when it comes to bank, I think the bank, that is a welcome thing, and I think that, because they used to do it so many times where the auction people house, with only little money remaining. Instead of saying maybe, because sometimes this person is having even a movable property like a car.
Yeah.
Instead of a person even saying, maybe you can guys wait, I'm selling my car so I can keep in my house. No, they don't have time. They will tell you on the day, your time is up.
Mm.
And sometime, I remember I had a cousin of mine who has a car. This is a movable property anyway. So, and the bank actually pushed him. And he was saying, okay, give me some 3 months. I will try to sell this car and settle my account. Will sell it more. And then they took the car. To the auctions, and it was sold cheaper.
Cheaper, yeah.
Yeah, and now he actually have to continue paying, you know.
Something with it.
And then he decided, there was a fight that, no, I told you I needed 3 months. I can sell the car. I would have actually sold the car with such an amount that I can be able to pay off everything. Yeah. Now you auction it. It's paid. Now I cannot afford to do that to pay you the reminder.
Pay you for what?
Yeah. So hey, this is just the banks also don't kind of think that we are in a business relationship.
Exactly. Yeah?
It's not that you're doing me a favor. It's a business transaction. It's a business relationship. And you have to treat me as such. You know? Yeah.
I'm your loyalty custom because now you put me in the maybe the guy was costing like the true value of that car.
Yeah.
It can be 50,000.
Yeah.
Now you make it 70 because I'm paying for 5 years.
Mm.
Okay. Now, after I just maybe remaining with what? 45, you already start.
Yeah, it could be 15 left, which you can't find somewhere. But just 15, you can't find 15, it somewhere,
you can be able to sell
that car about maybe 50 or 60,000, you know.
But I'm telling you, people, that's a welcome, my friend, because people have been suffering in this country for so long.
Yeah, no.
And I think also they need to come up with also another policy. Where they are directing, especially when it comes to these Chinese, you know, these Chinese we are buying like machinery, some of us, like we are involved in the construction.
Yeah.
Like, let them say you buy a Katurus, like a jackhammer. Then that jackhammer doesn't even stay for 3 months. You can't take it back because they will tell you there's no guarantee.
No guarantee.
man, but my money is gone.
Yeah.
I didn't even stay, that thing I didn't even use for long.
It shouldn't be a rule. Is it the rule of the shop or should be not a country rule? That when somebody buys something, it should be guaranteed for at least when somebody buys something of quality. Let's go for a commercial quickly and then we come back.
Okay.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the you in UNAM is you.
Yeah. So welcome back. So now... There is this, I don't know whether we have it in the country. I don't know how it's called. There's consumer protection.
Protection. Is in South Africa?
Yeah.
In Namibia, there's nothing.
I know that's in South Africa, but a consumer protection something. Yeah. So now the issue is here. Let's say, for example, when you go to Katutura, why in Katutura the Coke, let's say 106 mil, the 600 mil, it can cost you like maybe, let's say for example, just about, it costs you about maybe $10, $11 or so. Okay.
Yeah.
But you go to Glenbenduk, you're actually buying at $17.
Yeah.
Who just decided now, for me, this will be 17.
Yeah.
So wherever they bought, we all went to Coca-Cola and got it for maybe $8, and maybe buy it at $8 now. But you are selling at 17. Now we're selling it at 11. You know how? Why can't? Why? How can someone just decided, no, for me, it will be about either you want it or not. There must be some kind of a rule.
Yeah.
That even with renting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a way I want to touch when it comes to rent.
Yeah.
Because you can tell me, in a smaller apartment, smaller than even the sitting room.
Yeah.
In clean window. It will cost you more than even 12 or even 8,000.
Yeah. Yeah. 12. It could turn between 10 to 12,000, you know?
Yeah. Mm. But in Katutura, you can get it for 4,000. Or even less than that, 3.5.
Yeah.
Well, who that many that place?
Yeah. We can also understand where in terms of the place instead of maybe the service that are available there,
standard
and all that. Yeah, we understand. But sometimes the difference is you could be in that place, in the same area. One is actually 12, and the other one is about, let's say for 7. How do you just determine this would be this much and in the same area, you know?
Eh? No. The thing is that it's individual.
It's exploitation of the community.
Why? It's exploitation.
Yeah.
Because it's take it or leave it. Because remember, we are living in the country where, where does it, they say, high in quality.
Mm.
And now you determine the price with you, determined by each individual person.
Yeah.
Why you don't have this is a thing which I was also compelling, like, no, why we don't adopt a Chinese method where it's working? Because this is also going to be determining like our salary.
Yeah.
Because you can tell me I'm asking your company, but I'm getting 6K. Then we have another action in another company who's getting even 16 or 17.
Yeah.
How? On earth? And we have Minister of Labor. What does he wait?
Yeah.
We cannot even, we cannot have at least same salary, all difference. You cannot build that so huge.
Yeah, so at least.
When you look at this.
Yeah, no, go ahead. And I guess.
Yeah, when you look at this, like, now I'm compelling even, like, you know, locality.
Mm.
Let me say you are working at one of the local company. Now you have somebody who's working in municipality.
Yeah.
Why is having to be different like that? Your secretary, you are doing the same work where you are, or a woman says you are doing the same work for administration.
Mm.
But somebody is getting more than that.
Yeah. Actually, it should be like, I get your point, really, where to say, if your company, depending on the new, you know, if your company actually making this much profit, and generating this amount of revenue in a year, you people on this, in this, the management, your management, your middle management, thoroughly should be between this and this. You understand? There must be that kind of brackets. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. And even when it comes now to even parastatus, you have someone in Air Namibia that actually getting 150 something or 170 something per month or something like that.
But the company is not even doing well.
And the company is not even doing well. And the company is not even doing well. Eh?
I'm telling you. But the person is still collecting his salary.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and also the gap, you know, you find that the CEO is getting all this amount, and the gap between the CEO and the receptionist, it's so big. So
big.
Yeah, it's so big. The gap between the CEO and the middle management and the senior managers, and there's always that gap, you know?
Yeah.
So you must be always closer to, you know, to
exactly, because we are talking about one company.
Exactly.
That's why I'm saying, we need to come up with intervention of accommodating everybody. Because we are saying, some people are just getting rich every day.
Mm.
But some are getting poorly. We cannot even afford even to buy a bike. It's because...
Bike is when even luxury. Work. You are going far. Bike is a luxury you're talking about. We're talking about food on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, you talking see? About a bread, it's but a luxury, you know, just to...
Exactly.
You
know, and then, but just imagine, this person is getting all of the allowance, come starting from the phone, airtime, starting from the food, for and the, also the clothing, and the car, but... In this the same company is where we have a cleaner who cannot even afford to for transport.
Yeah.
Huh? Just for commuting every day with a taxi.
Yeah.
No. Seriously, Minister, I'm just checking because we have a lot of things at that like Nekunji and the James Sangwasa. They are doing so well. And they are starting even to revise the policy where they are not directing or benefiting Namibian.
Yeah.
But Minister of Labor, they are just quiet. But there are so many things which need to be addressed.
Exactly.
Because we're still like in the colonial era because they are still using the same policy which affecting our people.
Yeah, maybe we need to change our political system. Maybe we need to be social democracy. So much of social rather than democracy. Social democracy where, you know, we want to, you know, to our wealth distributed equally, because this competing, you know, this capitalism really, it doesn't take us anywhere.
No, not at all. I'm telling you. But seriously, the way we are talking about the Dutch Association for what? Protection what? We need it.
Consumers protect. Protection.
Consumer protection. Because just remember, you buy what a can which is expired.
Yeah.
And when you take it back, do you think those people are even going to refund you? You may end up even quarreling and what's on. And when you even call the police say, no, me, I don't have anything to say to you guys. Sort it out your problem. You see? These are things which we are serious. We need consumer protection.
Yeah.
And it can be also addressing all those issues like when you are talking about housing and so on.
Exactly.
So many things which we need to revise our policies.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Mike.
No, thank you for coming through and have a great weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a paid day and the people are enjoying, I'm telling you. Everybody, maybe, that's why they are not calling even there.
Yeah, I know. When it comes to a pay day and it's Friday, you will never get any engagement, you know?
I'm telling you.
You know, people just get engaged when they are frustrated. They don't know what.
All right, man.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'll come back again because I just want you to finish the what?
Second
topic.
I will do that, yeah.
All right.
Great.
A very good morning to you, welcome to Unpacking the Day. So our time is about 25 minutes past the hour of 9, and we go until the hour of 10 o'clock. So, yes, and this is Unpacking on Eagle FM, and I'm Mike Oshoveli. So, we were looking at the... we have covered earlier on, and if you want to come through and just comment on that, so you're most welcome.
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Uncle Bona. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you too?
I'm all right.
Good. Yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And it has been overdue.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And yes, very important that dogs registrations are reviewed.
Yeah.
And now harmonized and really responds positively to
the need of the people.
To the need of the people.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing is that, yes, it's very hard, it's very late to find somebody who is worthy, for so to say, or maybe have got access to financial security that his or her property is repossessed.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very late. So it's actually the vulnerable people and the Katutulas and all these other ones who are actually even excluded from the financial inclusion that the people are talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And the good thing is this, the good thing is that previously there was nothing, there wasn't any investigation or evaluation done. You know, they just said this person haven't paid for two months, is not probably going to be able to pay. And then the bank already issued the repositioning. So now to say, no, we wait a minute. We do our own investigation. We want to see how. I think that's really, really, really a good way going forward. I think so.
Yes, it's true. You are right. And the other thing is that yes, I was actually reading an article by Job Angola,
yeah,
who analyzed those issues very well.
Yeah,
and the issues of information security. And those digital issues.
Yeah.
It's actually looking at the way you people are bringing it now.
Mm.
That yes, there are the majority of the is even say that 78% of the Namibians,
yeah,
are considered included, I mean financially included.
Yeah.
But when 78%, you look at
78%.
No, yeah, but he is just saying that that is how people think.
Yeah.
Mm. But it is not actually the case.
Yeah, yeah.
Because these are the case where you have, for example, in Windhoek,
yeah,
where the commercial institutions are, where people can have access maybe to digital transactions, and they are actually now, for example, creating wealth.
Yeah.
Because they can also have shares in those companies.
Yeah.
And this is actually legislation that he has to now protect us. Even though he is saying that, yes, there are also Electronic Transaction Act, which he mentioned there,
yeah,
that recognize some of these things. If you mention somebody has to travel from all along.
Mm.
Let's say now when you look at our country, it's so huge. Yeah. The square kilometer.
You are in a poor, eh?
Yeah, you are in a poor.
Mm.
And he's even giving an example of somebody in a poor, who is an economic teacher, for example.
Yeah.
And that person, he's only having access, he or she have access, has access to these basic banking issues,
yeah,
your account and things like that. But when it comes to really creation of wealth, where, for example, you have to save money from traveling to a poor and all these other things, and it's only this money that you have in the bank, for example, is being utilized by other people who are even in the urban area, because you also made that kind of a comparative analysis.
Yeah.
So you can see that many of these things, it has been burden on the vulnerable people.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly what you're saying is like, you know, you could in Namibia, you could have actually someone who have a subscriber that you have viewer. You could have actually a video viral and then can create about 1 million viewers, but you get nothing from it. While other people actually, you know, are monetized from what they produce. So it's
and
exactly.
You know what he's saying?
Yeah.
Even if it comes to maybe for the requirement when it comes to the digital transformation and all these issues.
Yeah.
He is saying that Namibia possesses a very prerequisite for financial liberation. Mm. And now he's talking about those mobile penetration and everything.
Yeah.
And he's saying 100% when it comes to somehow technological infrastructures and things like that, and maybe looking at some kind of our legal framework somehow.
Yeah.
So they really have given access or provision to those institutions.
Mm.
But do they have a will? The willing is absent, apparently. That's what he's saying.
Mm.
So there is a serious need for us to, and he was even talking about Namibia security exchange.
Yeah.
Our people could invest their money inside there, but you have to go through the brokers and all these things and things like that, despite the fact that the environment, at least the government, is trying to create that conducive environment.
Mm.
for people to really build wealth.
Yeah.
And not only have access to an account or maybe a mobile account,
yeah,
but people need to have this kind of financial literacy, inclusivity,
yeah,
so that they can able to really create a wealth.
Yeah.
So, Mike, I think I'm very happy to. I was just trying to link my point, my viewpoint, with the repossessioning of the properties and things like that. And the reason why they are doing that is because they have no financial security.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So, and that is the reason. I think if they can come on and really look at the norms and the value of the people, because like you said, look at the background of the person. Look at the social background and economic background of the person.
Yeah.
Even politically, because if you look at the people who are having the benefiting from these things, from our West, for example, it's
or you just lost your job. I mean, we are in a situation in a country where people are losing their job. You know, you just lose your job, and then immediately they're just thinking, okay, we take away your houses. Why don't they look at different? Imagine, it's not something that happened because you wish it to happen or because you decided you stolen something and you are fired or whatever the case may be. You just lost your job.
He's calling it say, a apartheid kind of an era, not the one that we know, but this is another kind of a system that is really pushing our people more on the vulnerability.
And lead to, when we're talking about the whole question of men, you know, ending their own life, is that imagine you lost your job, now you're going to lose your house, you know. And
then they'll give you a protection order again.
You know, you see, it's just, you know, the as you're saying, that's no financial security at all.
So thank you very much for the opportunity you've given me.
Thanks for coming through and for your contribution. Okay.
Welcome.
Okay, great.
Yeah, it's quite slow today. My mind is also not thinking straight today.
Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Tate Mike.
How are you, man?
Great, great.
Yeah, my mind is very slow today.
Your voice today, is it because it's a must and it's a payday?
Is it sound exciting or is it sound more depressing?
No, exciting.
No,
that's great.
Yeah, so. Okay.
First, so far you have failed to come back to me with, I gave you a homework and you have not.
What was the homework? I always write those homework and
homework was how much it costs per minute to broadcast this program.
Seriously? I have asked our marketing. I gave your number to our marketing personnel. Yeah.
They did not come back to me.
Okay. Yeah. No. I'll follow up with them. So yeah. No. I did. No.
I want to pay for my airtime that I'm using.
You know,
exactly. The time that I'm provided. You know, it's a platform.
Yeah. No. I'll follow up with them because I have given the number and discussed with them and said, okay, please give a call and talk to him. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
No. I did. Yeah.
Great. Now, come back to the story.
Yeah.
The housing issues.
Yeah.
You know, the first question that one would ask is, why now?
Yeah.
That's the first question. People have suffered. People have lost their properties.
Yeah.
For more than 35 years. Now, are we saying that leaders were not aware of this? So this is giving us a clear indication or information that many problems that we have now, it is within our, we can address those issues if we want. Yes, it's not that something new happened. No, someone decided it's time now to put an end to this. It could have happened 20 years ago. Why not 20 years ago?
So shouldn't we just then look at, okay, I know one can say that somehow what also looking at is that what we can learn also from this is that, okay, when you ask the question, why now, we can also learn that there have been a complacent from the previous leadership. But we can also then take that, well, it's rather now than later, isn't it?
Okay. Mm. It's rather now than later. But remember, this issue of the housing, it was not as a result of this new government. I hope you're aware of that. It has been on the table.
Definitely.
Mm. Yeah, it has been on the table.
Yeah.
It's not as a result of this new government.
Yeah.
When I read the article, I read it somewhere.
Mm.
Then I have a suggestion that I want to make. Now, if I have a house for 15 years, let us say I took a loan for 800,000.
Mm.
After 15 years, if you put together all the money that I have paid, it's enough to cover the initial, the capital cost, plus some interest.
Yeah.
After 15 years.
After 15 years, yeah, it would be.
Yes. And then we are saying this. After 15 years, something happened to my source of income, which the government, the courts and the banks can verify that this is truly, it has nothing to do with me. It's my source of income has come to an end.
Exactly. That's
something has come.
Yeah.
Now, my suggestion is, if that thing can be established, then what do they need to do? They need to look at how much I have paid so far.
Mm.
And did I cover the initial cost? If the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Then when they sell that property, they just need to look at, okay, if it need to be, in fact, do they need to sell it? If I have covered the initial cost plus some interest rate, maybe that is time for the bank to take some risk. In an event happen like that, then they write off, they say, okay, we give the house to you. Maybe that, why can't we do that?
Exactly. I understand the point you're making. And,
remember, since I have already covered the cost, the initial cost, the money that they gave me, plus some interest, it's only that in my case, they were not able to maximize on the interest because of the situation. Then the bank must come to they must also take that risk and say, okay, we cannot take away the house from you. You have lost your source of income. Mm. So then the house is now we write it off or whatever. How do you call it? Then it become my own properties.
Yeah. I think he's looking at that, the value of the amount how would I put this? I'm not a finance person really to put it in the correct terms. The value of the amount of the money you have paid so far is not actually the same value of the amount of the money, of that property, if paid completely at that time. You understand?
Yes. No, that one I understand very well.
Oh, okay.
What I'm saying is, the bank must also come to the point where they take risk.
Yeah, okay. Mm.
They are saying, okay, yes, we were supposed to make this X amount of money at the end of the payment, the period.
Mm.
But because of what happened to the source of income of this individual, we are unable to do that. So therefore, we cannot just put the person, yes, that is now become one of the bad debt.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, but you remember, in the process,
we have to ask, can the bank actually have a bad debt?
Yes, it's a bad debt, but they have not really lost in terms. Like, yes, they might not have got the money they wanted to get, but they have got something out of the property. They have not made a loss. It's only that they did not maximize on the return that they wanted to get. And then at the end of the day, at least, this person, as long as there is a proper mechanism of identifying that, yes, indeed, what happened is beyond this person's control.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do we know? We take into account the record of payment of that person. the person has been one of the faithful payment person that pay, and it's out of his control that the income loss.
For them, all what they look at is they want to recoup their money. That's all what they're looking at. Yeah,
you know, I understand, but I think it's time for the banks to start thinking of taking. That is a risk that one can take. And remember, it's not everyone is going to lose their source of income.
Yeah.
It happened in some cases.
Yeah, exactly. And if it can verify that that's the case, yes, it's not that just the person is claiming, but it's also you know that the case. One can actually look at that differently. Actually, yeah. Even coming up now with a different way of, you have no, is there a possibility that you, another way that you can, which is actually the bank is trying to do now, to say, we will look at if there are other alternative way that we can go, we can take, to make sure that you keep your home. If not, then it's when the court will then issue that. Yeah.
And we can also, one thing can also think of, okay, if you, maybe they should also come to the point where they say, now since you have lost your source of income, we freeze your payment now while you are looking for another source of income.
Yeah.
And no, when you
that
get...
That you can do is with the bank as well. That you can
no,
do.
You, the, no, you can't freeze.
Who not, can? Not freeze, but have a holiday, how do they call that? Holiday, I don't know what's the word. Something holiday. Holiday break, not a holiday break.
But. You know, the funny thing is that if they can give you a holiday for I don't know how many months, when you start with payments, they will take into account that time and at the end of the day, you are even.
That's the problem. It's not like they freeze it. It's not like, okay, this 3 months, it's not actually included in your payment anymore. They just actually said, okay, we give you this time to look for, you know, for a job or whatever the case may be, but you still are going to pay that anyway.
Yeah, that is. So there are a lot of things that a bank can do, and that can be directed by the government.
Yeah.
It's the government that says, okay, this is how we want you to handle these issues. And I think the government is here. As you say, it's better now, it's better than never. So it's a welcome move. We support it, but we just felt like it could have been done long time ago because people have suffered.
Yeah,
you have paid for your house for 15 years.
Yeah.
Your house is sold for less value, and you are not even going to get anything from that.
Nothing, absolutely nothing.
Nothing. The bank will recover whatever the price
and
of
and
that
more,
house
and more.
Mm. And in fact, the rumors has been most of people that bought those houses, those are the ones that are connected to the banks.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are rumors that we cannot verify. But we are okay with we're happy with the thing.
All right.
Great.
No, thanks for coming through. And I'll follow up again with our marketing department, and then they will definitely come back to you. All right?
Please, you know, remember the logic why I submitted that is that you have a program that starts from 8 to 10.
Yeah.
It's a platform that it's given to us as citizens.
Mm.
And among those that are given the platform, there are those who can afford to maintain or keep this program.
Yeah.
And if we are given, let us do something. We can't just be people that come and talk and... somebody is paying for my time that I'm talking.
Exactly. You're right.
Why can't I contribute whatever I can? Mm. Even 10% or 20% or 30% of that. Yeah. It makes a difference.
Okay. No, definitely. That's very clear. Mm.
Yes. Otherwise, if you don't help me, I'll go and talk to Johnny and tell him that you don't want to help.
No. So tell me, is that the marketing department, it doesn't, they will come back to you. So definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, follow up.
Thank you, Mike.
Great man. So.
Okay.
Mm.
46 minutes past the hour of 9, and we're still here on Unpacking the Day until 10 o'clock. Very slow today. My mind is very slow today. But do come through. I'll still engage with you.
Very good morning to you. Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Mm.
Investment.
Yeah.
you have to stick on the rules of investment.
Yeah.
So the bank doesn't use its own money.
Of course, yeah. Mm.
It's using somebody's money.
Yeah.
And you cannot come and tell the person when the fixed deposit matured to say, no, we were lending to these people and they be able not to pay.
Mm.
Yeah. It's impacted in the reputation of the bank.
Yeah.
So but there is choices there.
Before, I think you mentioned you're coming up with a very important aspect that I also raised in the when I was looking at that. Now, when you're talking about the fairness debate now,
mm-hmm.
what about the fairness to the lender?
No, the lender, what it needs to be, you know, this thing were not to formed into unqualified people, right?
Mm.
Yeah. The qualified one, the one that is, you look at in the academical qualification.
Yeah.
Which is the, how do we call it? Which is the minimum wage is about, the salary wage is about 25,000 on your field.
Yeah.
So, and when you losing this job, you're getting 3 months into looking another job, which is also paying the same amount or less than what you were expecting to get.
Mm.
So, that is how they were designing it. Not to the grade 12 one, and then you end up promoting up to 35,000 earning.
Yeah.
And when you look at when you lose the job, you start from the scratch again from grade 12, which is earning about 3,000, and you were having a mortgaging of 8,000 or something like 15,000. Those are where you're finding people are losing their houses because they are not be able to pay that 15,000.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So it's not to say they are losing their houses because of earning a little or not having the job, but it's because of that you are not be able. But if you are discussing with the bank, let me say you lose your job and you are still in the hand of the job.
Mm.
What they ask is that, okay, we're giving you 3 months to come up with a solution.
Yeah.
So, but you did not be able because you are not qualified. You have no academic qualification or for any earning that's 25,000 we are talking about.
Yeah.
So it's where people are losing their jobs. It's not that, I mean, the houses or, or whatever. So what you need to understand is that even the NHG, say, you see, NHG is the one of the slowest projects in Namibia if you look at it because they don't have man on their hand. They are expecting the government to bail them out or to give them money.
Yeah.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the house in Namibia, we have no, the investment of the house in Namibia, we have no much industry that is producing people who can be able to pay, 15,000 a month.
Yeah.
So that is where we are failing. But the rules of the game is that it's depending on your academic qualification. It's depending on your earning, your skills that is paying certain amount, not by promoted because you have been in that company for 8 years, you have been in that company for 20 years, and then they're promoting you to the salary of 15,000, then you end up saying, oh, no, let me take a car that is, costing me 8,000 a month. Yeah. And when you lose that job, which you were trusted you, the other one doesn't trust in your experience.
Yeah.
You end up earning a little.
So you when you come in new company, you're kind of, even with your experience from a previous company, it doesn't get you to the same level of
level. Yeah. Yeah, so those are the type of things that people, maybe they don't understand, that the rules of the game is not changing. The people that are designing it, is they were designing to get their profit. And when they are promising their investors, that is how they're promoting their investors. That is how they're using their money. Mm-hmm. So that's why NHG and other, and you see, as we were discussing about the resources, is that if we are not including our workers on this investment, we will not develop in this country. Because we cannot find people that they can say, let me commit it to buy a house in Green Coupe. While I know my academic qualification is not that level. So at the end of the day, when I lose in this job or this company facing bankrupt, where am I going to get the money? So those are the type of things that people need to understand, that the investment is the one that is killing. The money is not available for free.
Oh yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, so those are those are things that we need to understand when it comes to the investment. Mm. It's not that we are against the ideas that people are coming up with. It's because of the part of the game that is a live game which was designing us to be competed.
Mm.
You have to be in compete if you want to be a part of that. So those are the thing that I'm saying. It's not that the government can decide to say, no, write it off.
Yeah.
No, the game is not like that.
Yeah.
The game is for those who are be able, who have a mission to go to do something.
Mm.
And you see, if you look at now the developers of AI, the developers of those machines, they are earning billions of dollars because people are investing to get their money back. Because it's attracting things in the market.
Yeah.
And it's saving the whole world. So those are the type of things that if you wanted to be a part of it. Okay, let us hear from others.
All right. No, thanks for actually that point of view. It does make sense that you come up with that from that angle, because it shed some lighters as well from how other people actually think and the lack of inside understanding also from the bank side. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. No.
Yeah. No. Thank you.
No. Thank you for coming through. Yeah.
You're welcome.
All right. Yeah. No, that's, as I said, that's something we're educating ourselves here. We also, you know, from different point of view. And that's why I also ask that, you know, when we talk about fairness, I also throw it in to say from the lender's point of view, you know, and those aspects that we looked at as well in terms of that. So yeah. How many minutes we have? We still have about 6 minutes. So you still, we still have, you know, for one or two people, to come through as well. So 08333-66091, 08333-66091. As I said, I'm not a very, how would I say it? My mind is not that. It's not thinking straight today. But you can survive with me. It won't be a disaster at all. So do come through and let's have a chat, especially on the first item that we covered earlier on. Yeah. All right. Our time, 55 minutes past nine. Yeah. So we were, where we were on our second topic, we were looking at where do we were. I don't even know where we actually stopped, but we're talking about that I give an example, actually. Maybe I was given an example. What is that? What are we talking about with re-export? And I give an example of a friend, you know, a friend that's actually staying in Botswana and who needs something, but instead of them getting it directly from let's say from Europe, it come from it first come to you in Namibia, And then what do you do? You sometimes maybe you may not do anything to it. Or maybe you just repack it or keep it for some times or and then send it on its way to Botswana. So to your friend in Botswana. So and with her fee also. And that is a re-export. So Namibia is doing this. As I said, we are doing that and we're doing quite a lot of it. And we also, the article mentioned about 3.3 billion worth of this re-export, in June last year. So, and the Namibia Statistic Agency is telling us that that no significant industrial transformation happening in terms of this kind of trading, and as I said, there's also in the agency also say that this re-export do benefit Namibia through facilitation services. And services like now repackaging or sorting or storage or transport, and also just facilitation, that general trade facilitation. So yeah, and they say the NSA is also saying that our services sector get a boost from this. Okay. So, and I was, okay, this is where I stopped. So, and the question for us, as I said, as ambitious Namibian, is that good enough? All right. Is that good enough? So probably let's have our last caller and then probably that's where we're going to end.
A very good morning to you.
Yes, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, for second item.
Yeah, there's just 1 minute or two. Yeah.
Yeah, just quickly, even maybe seconds.
Yeah.
You know, Magne, why we are doing that is because of what our destination area.
Yeah.
The
main issue here, Ne. Okay. Mm. Just maybe you so that you get because there are a lot of things that we haven't covered. You know.
Yeah.
So the main issues here that first of all it shows our capacity, because things are coming through Namibia. We are just the exporter kind of lounge.
We are middlemen.
Yeah, we middlemen. You know.
Yeah, because I understand the way we are going.
Yeah.
Because the thing is that because of our ports.
Yeah.
It's where our advantage. And the thing is that the real money is coming to us.
Yeah, exactly.
It's passing by us, and then we give it to the owner who producing those stuff.
Exactly. Wherever the destination is, they will now actually have a final process. They are processing those things. That's where the value addition and manufacturing and industrialization actually is taking place. You know?
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And it's a hard time also what I was saying that as a Namibian, even the trucks which are coming through here, I don't think they pay much as
we don't.
They are just paying the same.
Yeah.
They are just paying the same amount like our trucks.
Mm.
Instead of supposed to be too much cost. Because remember, we are in the middle of Zambia and David Wissau Port and the DRC. Sometimes you talk about Zimbabwe, Botswana.
Mm.
But really, the money in our economy is not much that they are contributing a lot.
Yeah.
When it comes to using even our road, when it comes to even road authority.
Yeah.
It's not much because we are paying the same.
Mm.
I don't know how long are we going to be this way. But serious, I think the way they are proposing in the Trans-Karari railway, and that they can improve that one for to Shikango.
Yeah.
And maybe you can everyone who's going to Katiti there in the Zambezi region. I'm telling you, we'll be able to, we're not even going to complain about the high unemployment of what our youth.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it will be
catered. The president said there are two other transportation that we actually failed a bit.
The air transport
and also the rail transport.
Exactly. Yeah. And we are not looking even though that we are working on towards a development.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's why I wanted also to cover that national air carrier part, the launching of that as well. They're planning to launch that as well. They are coming back. Yeah, no, there will be a national airline. There will be a national airline that Nekundi have said so. And I wanted to touch on that today, but well, there wasn't enough time. Maybe we can include that still on Monday. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, man. Have a good weekend, my brother.
Sharp. Great.
All right. Well, that's actually bring us to the end. To the end of this episode of Unpacking the Day. And thank you very much. For those who took place, who contribute, who share your opinion, and as I always said, that's what this is all about. It's created for you to come through and really share your opinion. Remember, we not just said the leaders, but we also said whenever we're taking any topic, there are people out there listening. Yeah, just as you're listening as well. So wherever you find yourself, you could be in a position of decision making. And your opinion might be just something that someone find it very okay. I think let's look at that. Let's maybe get into that. Okay, that's a different opinion that I never thought of. So it's very important that we continue engaging and conversing on. And sometimes when I bring you some of this, it's when I really feel this is issues that are very important to our society, to our communities, and to our country. Let's discuss it and let's differ, you know. And as I said, like now, someone coming from a banking perspective and give us a different perspective, maybe that we didn't even know. And here we're shouting, oh no, this and that. And then when we hear that perspective, and then we start, okay, that makes sense. Okay, so that changes how you feel about something, because now. You have information that you didn't. So we need that. Keep engaging. Keep debating. That's the only way we can actually build our country and we can change things is when we talk, is when we come discussing things. So, well, join me tomorrow at 11 from 11 to 1 o'clock tomorrow on Mind Matters from today. From Unpacking the Day. So I wish you a beautiful Friday, the rest of Friday. And let me cross over to Windhoek, where Tate Franz is waiting. And I'm going to leave you in the hands of Mr. Franz. For me, very goodbye. And, well, thank you.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya shiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seisa nina omayakudo ni randi soma yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tu imemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifareki uimepo yomo programa betu. Moambo dengira selma konara hetatu imu. Datu heari hamano tano o niyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend,
Why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-37.